Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. Mike Adams here, and the title of today's episode is Death of the American City, Nine Trends You Need to Know. And of course, we'll cover a lot of other news in addition to that, but I'm going to actually read for you the nine big trends here about the death of the American city so that we get kind of a table of contents before we go into more depth and detail. But before I do that, I want to read you this Breitbart headline. This is really indicative of what I'm talking about. Expert: convert empty San Francisco buildings to water slides, right? So these are the ideas that are floating around in the heads of Democrats in left-wing cities that are collapsing. Water slides. Okay. Quote, experts are wrestling with the difficult question of what to do with vacant skyscrapers and commercial real estate in downtown San Francisco, with one suggesting empty buildings could be converted to water slides, as if that's going to bring people back, because, you know, the best water slide experience is that when the slide ends, you get off the slide, you land in a pile of human feces, which is what all the streets of San Francisco are now. That's the best thing at the bottom of a water slide, is a pile of feces. And that's a great metaphor for Democrat-controlled cities, by the way. So fear among local leaders is that the exodus, they're talking about, let me back up. San Francisco has been in a state of near collapse since the pandemic. This is Breitbart reporting, because tech industry commuters have left the city and crime is driving retail businesses out. Fear among local leaders is that the exodus will lead to a downward spiral or a, quote, death loop. Actually, I call it a doom loop. And we'll talk about the doom loop here today about cities and also how it will impact you even if you live outside the city. So if you're a rural resident, this impacts you too. We'll talk about that. A death loop in which departing businesses follow one after the other, leaving the downtown area an empty and abandoned shell, which is exactly what's going to happen, by the way. The UK Guardian suggests that urban planners have not given up. The answer may lie in repurposing commercial real estate, either as residential housing or as recreational facilities like water parks. Right. Because, yeah, again, a crime-infested city run by gangs. Oh, mommy, let's go to the water park. What kind of water park is it? I don't know. It's a it's a water slide that's been, like, ratcheted into the side of an abandoned office building populated by crackheads and meth heads. You can wave to them as you slide by on the water slide before you plunge into the human feces pool below. Yay! Welcome to San Francisco. Water park. Everybody loves it. So seriously, there's a guy who's, I'm not even going to say his name. He's the co-director of a group called Shaping San Francisco, which obviously has failed in its mission, by the way. And this group, quote, provides walking, biking, and bay cruise history tours of the city. Right. And by the way, the only reason anybody wants a tour of the city or ever did was because at one time the city was actually a fun place to visit. I remember visiting San Francisco when I was a kid and having the, what was it, like the white fudge? What was it, the Girardelli Square? Is that what it's called? And riding the trolley, you know, the steep roads. And what was that? What's that really curvy road called? You know, San Francisco was a fun place to visit. There were tourist things to do. Now you just have to step over feces. Nobody wants to be there. Even the people who live there don't want to be there. So this guy says, what does a de-worked downtown look like? And what he means is an abandoned city. He says, quote, deconstruction is a possibility. Start taking stuff down, i.e. tearing down all the high-rises, tearing down the skyscrapers. He says, quote, why have these towers here if there's no use for them? Exactly. Maybe there will end up being water slides in there, he says. Five stories of water slides in amusement parks. Why not make a giant pinball arcade? Answer, because it's not 1978. That's why. A giant pinball arcade? These people are delusional. First, clean the crap off the streets. How about let's start there? How about let's start with funding the police, getting rid of violent crime, or at least making a dent into it and having some kind of sanity restored to the city. But my point is, here we are. Death of the American city is upon us. American cities are no longer structurally viable in the economy, at least as run by Democrats. And now people are actively talking about, let's just tear down the skyscrapers or convert them into residential housing. Now, this is the other thing, the other idea that a lot of people are coming up with. Let's let people live in those commercial high-rise buildings. Uh-huh, right. So, first of all, they were not built for residential occupancy. And thus, they would never be approved by the city for residential occupancy because they don't have the required, you know, infrastructure for that. You have to have certain safety features, for example, right, to live in there. And you have to have, you know, egress and ingress, access, whatever. You have to have a way for people to get up and down, you know, when the elevators don't work because the power grid's not reliable. You have to have parking or security and all these other things. These buildings, they're not set up as bedrooms and bathrooms, not like three bedrooms, two baths by this apartment. No, they're set up as office floors. They don't just readily convert into residential housing. However, I would imagine that what the mayor of San Francisco is going to do is the same thing that the mayor of New York City has done, Mayor Eric Adams. He has turned over 50% of the hotel rooms in the city to illegals. And the city is paying the hotels, and mandating this, by the way, and paying them to house illegals who are trashing the hotel rooms, by the way. Like drugs and sex parties and just tearing up everything is what's being reported. Having sex in the stairwells, you know, leaving used condoms all over the place. Or who knows what else is going on, drug use, child trafficking. So New York City hotels, which were once used by tourists, are now used by, you know, child trafficking illegals who are having parties in the hallways. That's what's going to happen in San Francisco if they keep these buildings up. Eventually, these buildings will be occupied by gangs, like right out of a dystopian science fiction movie. And you'll have gang warfare floor to floor. And the more powerful gangs will probably control the higher floors because they have, you know, a bigger view, a more advantageous position over the city. And, you know, they'll smash out certain windows so they can shoot out of those to keep other gangs away. And they'll have like sniper positions up there on the upper floors. And whoever controls the roof has, of course, the best sniping position of all. So San Francisco skyscrapers will be sniping nests for gang snipers to shoot other gang members and members of law enforcement, by the way. So that's what's actually going to happen to San Francisco, in case you're wondering. That's where it's actually going. It's not going to be water slides and pinball arcades, okay? It's not going to be another new form of Disneyland in San Francisco. It's actually going to be death, assassinations, human trafficking, rapes, you know, the whole deal. It's a collapsed dystopian society. But then again, so is nearly every city run by Democrats, by the way. In fact, Rob Schneider, the actor, put out a tweet over the weekend, said, the U.S. has the third highest murder rate in the world. Did you know that? But if you remove five cities from the statistics, that is, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, and Philadelphia, then the U.S. drops to 189 out of 193 countries in the world. In other words, but for those five cities, there's really not that much murder happening in the United States. Those five cities, writes Schneider, says all five cities have strict gun control laws and are controlled by Democrats. Uh-huh. Well, of course, every city controlled by Democrats eventually collapses. And those cities are in a state of collapse, Chicago, Detroit, and so on. We can add into that list soon, you know, Seattle, Portland, of course, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City, and so on. And probably Houston at some point, sad to say, because Texas is a great state. But when Democrats run cities like Houston or Austin, they run them into the ground. And so with that as the backdrop here, let's go to my 9 trends. It might be 10 by the time we get through, but 9 trends you need to know about the death of the American city. So here are the 9 trends. Number 1, the collapse of commercial real estate. Again, the commercial real estate, the buildings are half vacant or some of them are all vacant. We'll get back to this. Number 2, retailers are fleeing the cities. That includes grocery stores. So food options are leaving the cities and also banks. So financial retailers are also leaving the cities. Number 3, as commercial real estate collapses and as retailers flee the city, you have plunging sales taxes and property taxes. So the revenue sources for the city and the county, they also collapse. And this begins the financial doom loop. Don't have the money? Well, you can't keep infrastructure running, right? So that's point number 4, collapsing city infrastructure. There go the lights. Oh, the power grid's not functioning anymore. There's just no money for it. Oh, the water system doesn't work anymore. Drip, drip, drip out of the faucet. Or drip, drip. It's like weird feces-infested water goblets coming out. Emergency services collapses. Roads collapse. Bridges collapse. Like, literally, in that case, they just fall. And as the cities run out of money, they will just stop doing maintenance. I mean, this is already happening. You can see this if you live in these cities. And then point number 5, of course, no funding for police or emergency services, including firefighting and so on. You know, ambulance, I know it's not always city funded, but paramedics are. So I'm just saying that first responders and emergency services will be gutted as these cities run out of money. Number 6, skyrocketing violence, murder, and mayhem, which we just saw that in those 5 cities, horrible murder rates. Number 7, mass migration of refugees into the suburbs and the rural areas. This is what affects you, by the way, even if you live out in the country somewhere. Depending on how far away you are from the cities, you're going to receive a bunch of refugees fleeing the cities. And I don't even mean that these are like refugees from South America. These might be American refugees. These are going to be like liberal refugees, left-wing refugees who are finding out that their cities are not livable in a state of collapse. You know, if the water stops working and the power stops working, what do you do? At some point, you have to just leave. So you're going to have mass migration out of the cities into the suburbs and the rural areas. Point number eight, you're going to have climate lockdowns thanks to the new upcoming WHO treaties. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Climate lockdowns will be when globalists say, oh, there's too much carbon. We have to lock everybody down. No transportation, you know, limited electricity, limited food consumption, no meat. What else? Can't go to work, can't, you know, just locking you down like it was a pandemic. But there is no pandemic. They just say it's the climate. It's the climate crisis. Everybody locked down. Well, they can lock you down in the cities very easily because, well, where are you going to go? There's only a few ways in and out, and it's easy to control a large number of people in a city infrastructure. Very difficult to control people out in the countryside. It takes a lot more personnel than it's worth in terms of government, but they can lock down cities very easily. And then point number 9, which is kind of related to that, is the easy roundups for the quarantine camps. So when they want to round people up and take them to the quarantine camps in the next pandemic for mass extermination, it's very easy for them to do so in the cities because that's where people are. That's where people are defenseless too. That's where people don't have firearms, or I should say the law-abiding citizens don't have firearms. Of course, the criminals do. But given that the globalists are pushing a depopulation agenda, right? They want to exterminate billions of human lives on this planet. Where do those human lives concentrate? In the cities. Oh, yeah. Isn't it like 80% of the American population lives in cities? So if they want to kill, what, 250 million people or more, where do they find those people? In the cities. Very easy for them to do so. And also, by the way, in the city, it's easy for them to release more bioweapons because that's where it's going to spread with the most population density, you know, in the subways, right, in the bus stations, whatever, in the airports. It's all in the cities where the depopulation pushers are able to achieve their twisted demonic goals of mass murdering billions of human beings. So those are the 9 trends, and we're going to cover those in more detail. First, let me cover a few other headlines that I think you're going to find interesting. Let's see. This one from NBC News. Okay, Lukashenko, this is the president of Belarus, is promising nuclear weapons for any country that joins Belarus and Russia. Okay? I mean, wow. Wow. So he says he's a close ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, promised nuclear weapons to any nation that joined Russia and Belarus. He says, quote, "It's very simple. You have to join the union between Belarus and Russia, and that's it. There will be nuclear weapons for everyone." Well, that sounds dangerous. That sounds like the party you don't want to be at. So I'm just wondering, like, what countries are they going for there? I don't know enough about the geopolitics to know which countries might be leaning towards joining Russia, and then that these nukes would make a difference. But clearly, there are a lot of countries in the area that might really want nuclear weapons, because you notice once you get nuclear weapons, nobody screws with you anymore, or they not as much, because you can launch nukes. That's a big deterrent. So if you were wondering how quickly things go nuclear in this world war, which is the topic I covered yesterday, just think about this, that Belarus is promising more nuclear weapons to more countries, and it's like a saloon full of cowboys with all their revolvers out pointed at each other's heads. You know, at some point, all it takes is one trigger pull and all hell breaks loose. That seems to be where it's going. Next story here from bizpackreview.com. Shocking. Remember the guy, the non-American guy who drove the U-Haul into the barricades in front of the White House like 2 weeks ago or something? And then the media breathlessly announced, "Oh, we found a Nazi flag inside the U-Haul. There was a Nazi flag." And they charged him with trying to assassinate Biden, which is a joke. They charged him with all kinds of stuff. And that guy's name was Sai Vashirth Kandula. A non-citizen, 19 years old. He was charged with threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on a president, a vice president, or a family member. He was charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless operation of a motor vehicle, trespassing, destruction of federal property, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what happened? Guess what just happened? After they ran the narrative in the media and the Nazis were attacking the White House, blah, guess what they did? From the story, quote, "Prosecutors dropped every single charge, leaving Kandula with nothing but a single count of degradation of property of the United States." That's it. So they dropped all the charges except whatever charge goes with him, like hurting a concrete barricade. So he might have to repay for the barricade, you know, a couple grand, and that's it. So why are all these charges being dropped against him, huh? Was the guy the wrong color? Was he not white enough? He didn't have the right name? Was he not conservative enough? Did his browser history not show him being a fan of InfoWars or something? This false flag operation, which is what it was designed just to push headlines. I have no doubt. The FBI went to this guy. I can't prove this, but I have no doubt this is how it happened. The FBI went to this guy. They probably had him on something else, like a drug charge or something. And they said, "Look, we'll drop all the charges on everything. All you have to do is drive this U-Haul and just like smash it into this barricade right there. And then we'll drop everything." And he said, "Okay, I'll do that." And so he did it. And then they used that to create the narrative. They ran the headlines, you know, "Nazis attack the White House," and then they drop everything. And of course, the left-wing media never reports any of this. They won't report it now. And of course, the FBI put the Nazi flag in the U-Haul, you know, just because that's their narrative. Remember, they have to create the Nazis because there aren't any, except in the administration itself, you know, left over from Operation Paperclip. There aren't any actual right-wing Nazis that are trying to kill the president. That's a myth. It doesn't exist. So they have to create it with these false flag operations, you know, and false insurrections. You know, oh, speaking of insurrections, by the way, here's something that's absolutely shocking. well, I guess maybe not surprising. This one was, Zero Hedge covered this and some other outlets did as well. So you know how people are donating money to the J6 political prisoners, trying to help them with their legal funds? The Gateway Pundit covered this too. So a lot of people have donated money for the legal defense of these J6 prisoners, because a lot of them are, you know, not well-off individuals in terms of finances, and they need assistance. The Department of Justice is now seizing, or trying to seize, the legal defense money that's been donated to some of these individuals, such as Daniel Goodwin, who appeared on Tucker Carlson on Fox News. And the AP even reported, talking about how dozens of these January 6 defendants have set up online fundraising appeals, but the DOJ wants to claw back all the money, and they're saying that these people don't deserve to profit from their insurrection. And however much money they raise, like this one person raised $16,000, and then so the DOJ prosecutors are demanding the judge issue a $16,000 fine to take the money from this person so that they cannot afford a legal defense. This is malicious. This is unconstitutional. This is a violation of basic civil rights. This is evil beyond imagination, that the DOJ is seizing the money of people so that they can't even afford a legal defense. And I say again, by the way, if you've been wondering, and I've had a lot of great support about this, people wondering why I'm now supporting decentralized finance and cryptocurrency, it's for this very reason. Because if you have money in the banking system, they can seize it and they will just take it from you. They will steal it. They will make up some reason and they will order the judge, hey, judge, just steal the money from these people so they can't afford a lawyer. You could be charged with something yourself. It could be a totally made up charge, like they've made up charges against Trump, or they've made up charges against Attorney General Paxton in Texas, right? They could just make up anything. And then you try to defend yourself and they could just come along and steal your money and leave you penniless, to force you into some kind of a plea of guilt, even when you're not guilty. This is the level of evil that just smacks of, frankly, the British Empire and the whole reason that we fought the Revolutionary War in the first place, to get away from that kind of tyranny. But this is why cryptocurrency and privacy coins in particular are of such special importance, because privacy currency, nobody knows you have it and nobody can take it from you. And you can keep it in your head just by memorizing the seed phrase, you know, the password to the wallet. It's not just a password. It's like a 24-word seed phrase, or depending on the wallet. And then you can recreate the wallet and restore all your funds through that method. The DOJ doesn't want you to have any money, especially if they charge you with something, right? So this is why we need decentralized finance. This is why we can't trust the banks. This is why I'm exiting the banks as quickly as I can. Also because they're going to collapse and the dollar is going to zero, of course. But aside from that, if the government targets you, they can just steal all your money. They just literally just take it from you at gunpoint while they charge you with some made-up crime. So yes, we need privacy coins. And by the way, along those lines, some people were asking me, I mentioned yesterday, Epic Cash and Monero. And people were asking me, how do you buy Epic Cash? Well, just for the record, I don't sell it and I'm not urging anybody to buy it. I mean, it's totally up to you. But right now it's kind of difficult to buy, but it's supposed to get a lot easier when changenow.io, they will be offering probably in after about the first week of June, they'll be offering Epic Cash as a simple exchange. You can trade Bitcoin for Epic. And right now you can trade Bitcoin for Monero. And the two privacy-oriented coins that score the highest on my score is Monero and Epic Cash. And Epic is so new that most people haven't heard of it. And Monero has been around a few years, and it's had a couple of privacy bugs that have been, well, I think one of them is still in the process of getting fixed and so on. But you know, I mean, all crypto has like software bugs from time to time. Nevertheless, if you have a wallet of, let's say, Monero, nobody really knows that you have it. And so, here's the question. Do you have the right to private money? The answer is yes. It's a human right. Do you have the right to pay for legal defense without that money being confiscated? Yes, of course you do. It's supposed to be a constitutional right, by the way. Isn't that implied in the 14th Amendment, I think? And by the way, do you have the right to receive donations from people if they want to support your legal defense without the government coming along and stealing that money? Yes, you have that right. Well, what if the donations were made in Epic Cash or Monero? The DOJ wouldn't even know how much they were. What if you're a J6 defendant and you can receive donations in a privacy-oriented digital money system, and then you can pay your attorneys in digital money? That's your solution. No one can seize it. And by the way, in Canada, remember the truckers, anybody who donated to the truckers, right? They got their bank accounts seized. That was the other big breaking point here. This is why RFK Jr. is all in with Bitcoin and crypto now. And I'm in a similar situation. When I saw that, I'm like, oh my gosh, the banking system has been weaponized against we the people. And Bitcoin, sadly, Bitcoin is a fully transparent, fully open blockchain system. There are so many companies out there like Chainalysis, as it's called, I think, that monitor the Bitcoin blockchain, and they gather people's information through metadata and through exchanges. They can trace your wallet, your name, your expenditures, how much you've received, everything. Bitcoin is not private, nor is Litecoin, nor is Ethereum. You know, most of the coins are not private. Only a few coins actually have privacy built in terms of the blockchain algorithm. And those, I think, are going to be the most viable coins in the long run here, because the government is going to try to confiscate everybody's money, both in the banking system and outside the banking system, because the government's going broke, as we've witnessed with the debt ceiling fiasco. Government's broke. You know, and when it comes down to it, if they have to either collapse or, let's say, steal everybody's money, which choice are they going to make? Oh, they're going to steal everybody's money. They're just going to seize your money, seize your bank account, take it if they can. Of course they're going to. I mean, you'd have to be a fool to think that the government's not going to steal your money at some point. Of course they are. They do it every year, you know, with income taxes and what have you. All right. But by the way, as a practical homework item, I do want to encourage you, go to changenow.io. That's the web address, just changenow.io, and learn how to use it. It's very simple. You can just, you know, get yourself some Bitcoin, and then you can exchange some Bitcoin for something else. And it's very simple. You know, you enter your email and you say what you want to exchange, and they have a really good exchange rates there too at changenow.io. So that's how people are going to acquire these other privacy coins in a very simple way. Oh, and one more story before we get back to the list about the cities from Fox News. Target, the Target retailer, marketing VP, holds senior position at organization pushing secretive transgender policies in K-12 schools. And why are we not surprised? So Carlos Saavedra is vice president of brand marketing at Target and a treasurer at GLSEN. I don't even know what that stands for, but that's this group that pushes transgenderism into schools, pushes gender transitions, sexually explicit books, gender ideology at all levels of the curriculum, and so on. Okay, so this is, in my view, it's a satanic organization. So here we have another piece of evidence that Target, at least one of its executives, is tied to a satanic group. And this is in addition to Target actually partnering with a Satanist to design transgender clothing for children. I mean, for young children. I mean, you talk about completely insane, completely demonic. But apparently, the Satanism has infected the upper ranks of Target. And Target is doubling and tripling down on all this. Target's not saying, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake, we're backing away from this. No, Target is out there saying, essentially, we're going to keep pushing this stuff. And, you know, we're going to target your children for transgender mutilations and whatever else goes with that, which is typically pedophilia, by the way. So Target, the pedo retailer. So, of course, continue your boycott of Target. Not only should you sell all stock of Target if you happen to have any. It's probably crazy to have your money in the stock market at this point anyway. That's just my opinion. But also, do not shop at Target. Don't buy anything there ever again. And you might wonder, well, where am I supposed to buy stuff that I need? You know, this is what happens when the mom and pop shops are destroyed by the big box stores, and then the big box stores end up being run by Satanists. We need to restore local commerce. So try to support your local shops if there are any remaining, and find alternatives. You know, there are some made in America online small retailers that sell a lot of products that are not tied to Satanists, by the way. And even ourselves, we are expanding our product line. I know we don't sell the typical stuff that Target sells, household goods and so on. But we're working on expanding our product line. And we're working on a new partnership that will launch a full line of preparedness and survival supplies coming up soon. I think in June, by the way. And we are selling these silver-infused pillows, the Silverite pillows, at healthrangerstore.com right now that people are going to love. We sold a lot of those pillows over the Memorial Day weekend, by the way. And if you bought one, wait till you get it. You're going to love it. It's the most comfortable pillow, the natural kapok fiber, the silver infusion, double layer of silver on the outer pillow case and the inner pillow shell. And you can remove the kapok fiber if you want to make it less thick. You know, you can adjust the thickness of it. People are going to love that. And we do intend to, at some point, offer silver-infused, lab-verified towels, you know, hand towels, bath towels, and things like that, and bed sheets at some point. All silver-infused. That's our focus, and all based on organic cotton, by the way. So that's coming. I know that's not Target stuff. Target will sell you cheap GMO cotton, you know, grown in China, you know, manufactured in a slave labor camp somewhere, you know, for the cheapest dollar. But that's not what we're going to do. Obviously. Oh, my goodness. You know, by the way, I want to be clear. I do not condone any sort of violence, obviously, against Target or any other retailer. And the bomb threats that have been made so far against Target have been made by left-wing, you know, LGBT pushers, the transgenders. We talked about that yesterday. Bomb threats against five Target stores by the tranny terrorists, right? And probably more of that will happen soon. I say don't ever resort to such tactics, of course. You don't need to. You know why? Here's why. By simply denying Target your business, you will cause them to financially implode because they have invested in infrastructure based on purchase history, based on sales volumes, based on projections of how much stuff they're going to move in each store, in each zip code, and so on. They have borrowed money. I mean, Target has to borrow a lot of money to function, by the way, especially for inventory and things and buildings and all of it. Target has borrowed a lot of money based on projections. Those projections are now going to fall flat because so many conservatives are boycotting Target. As a result, Target has overbuilt, overborrowed, and overinvested in infrastructure that will crash and burn. They will financially crash and burn in a manner that is frankly way worse than, you know, some isolated event. They will financially crash and burn to the point where they're going to have to shut down stores and they're going to have their own supply chain, oversupply problems, where they're going to have all this extra merchandise and they won't know how to get rid of it. They'll have to ship it to some other stores and have some fire sales on it, probably maybe late summer or early fall. They'll be trying to get rid of all this stuff because nobody's buying at Target anymore, or at least conservatives aren't. So if you really want to non-violently but financially hurt Target, the best way and the peaceful way to do that is to simply not shop there, ever, not once. And if you did just shop there, take it back, demand your money back, put those products back on the shelf, get your money back, and go shop somewhere else. That is the nonviolent, non-confrontational answer. Just remove target from your life and let them implode based on their debt and their overbuilding of infrastructure and their oversupply of their own inventory to the point where they start losing money hand over fist. Even they have to pay for transportation of products to other stores. So they have to wrap them back up, put them on pallets, put them on trucks, ship them to another store, have a fire sale there. They're going to lose 50% on these. They'll end up selling them for less than what they paid for them. Every box that goes out the door is, you know, 25 cents lost or whatever. That's how Target is going to burn themselves to the ground, which is only fitting since they're run by Satanists, right? You know, when you think of Target, just think of Satan and let them burn in hell for the evil they're carrying out against Earth's children. There you go. No violence necessary, nor condoned, nor advocated. You don't need that. Just shop somewhere else. Very simple. Let them crash and burn over their own debt weight. Now, that leads us actually back to point number one of the death of the American city theme here. And we're going to go through the 9 points in a little more detail. So point number one is the collapse of commercial real estate. So remember that Target leases a lot of their buildings. And so does Walmart, by the way. Well, as Target goes under, eventually some of these stores will go bankrupt and they'll close them down. So there will be empty commercial real estate sitting there, along with empty skyscrapers in a lot of these liberal cities and, you know, empty small shopping malls and whatever. A lot of empty real estate. The banks, and I didn't even put this in as one of the points, but the banks gave the loans to support the commercial real estate. As commercial real estate collapses, because of course, you know, refinancing has to take place typically every 3 to 5 years, you know, usually, banks will not want to give loans for real estate coming up, or commercial real estate, because of course there are no tenants or not enough tenants. Without occupancy, you don't have the revenue. Like if you're a property owner, let's say you own a high-rise building that you bought for $500 million or something, and you need, of course, a bunch of tenants in there paying rent for you to be able to go to the bank and say, hey, give me a loan, and here's my paperwork on the income I have because all these tenants are paying rent, right? That's the bank would normally give you the loan based on the income you're receiving as the building owner. If that income is slashed by 50% or 70%, the bank's not going to loan you any money. So you can't get refinancing. Your income is plummeting because fewer tenants, but you still have fixed costs on the building. You have fixed costs related to maintenance, for example. Electricity is mostly fixed, although maybe not entirely if certain floors are not occupied. There's no air conditioning on those floors. But you still have elevator maintenance. You have, you know, groundskeeping. You have security. You have property taxes. And you got to pay off your loans because you probably overpaid for the building a few years earlier. So you have fixed loan costs. What this means is that these property owners are going to go bankrupt in record numbers. Commercial real estate is going to collapse. And with it, a lot of banks are going to collapse because they wrote the loans and they can only write off so many loans. This process is going to continue over the next several years. It's not all going to happen all at once, not just this summer, for example. This is going to play out for the next 3 to 5 years as the cities are gutted and the banks that loan money for these buildings, they find themselves in dire straits. Point number two, or trend number two. Remember this one, retailers are fleeing the cities, including grocery stores and eventually banks. So we just saw Old Navy shut down its last store, I think, in San Francisco. We've seen many other retailers shutting down because they can't handle all the theft, just rampant shoplifting. And this is going to reach into grocery stores. Before long, grocery stores won't even be viable in a lot of these left-wing cities because the crime will be so out of control that it's just not worth running a grocery store on 2% margins when people just keep walking in and looting all your meat products or something. So grocery stores will shut down. Clothing retailers, right? Target stores, even Walmart and so on, they will all keep shutting down to the point where these cities are gutted of retail options and they become food deserts where the people who live there have nowhere to get basic supplies. you know, they're going to end up going to, I guess, convenience stores to get things like toilet paper, or maybe there'll be dollar stores or something still remaining, but even those will be looted, because I saw stories recently about a lot of thefts at dollar stores, people going in and stealing things that are valued at $1.25. I mean, that's how desperate they are. If you're shoplifting items that are $1.25, you're in dire straits, you know? Things have gone poorly for you. But a lot of people are desperate. So these inner cities are going to be just chaos, lawless, mayhem, with really no functioning police, no functioning businesses. I mean, everything boarded up, you know, bars over the windows, if anybody can afford them. And then eventually, it's just going to be people living in all these abandoned buildings, and it's just going to be, how do you even describe it? A giant collapsed dystopian science fiction movie. Okay. Point number three I mentioned before was then plunging property taxes and sales taxes because of the doom loop. What's critical to realize here is that the sales taxes are relied upon by these cities. I'm talking about retail sales, right? From grocery stores and from consumer product stores, you know, from Best Buy, from Walmart, from Target. And the property taxes of the commercial real estate. These are primary revenue streams for the cities and for the counties. And these revenues are used to provide, you know, in addition to bribery and, you know, money laundering and payoffs of the connected political elite, in addition to that, they're used to try to keep the infrastructure running. So as these revenues dry up, the infrastructure will collapse, which is point number four, collapsing city infrastructure. You're going to have more power outages as the utility poles aren't kept up, and after storms, you know, things won't be rebuilt as quickly. Now, I understand that a lot of utility companies are not necessarily funded by the city or even the state. A lot of them are private. But there are other infrastructure items such as the water supply, the roads, bridges, and so on, even road signs that are funded by cities and counties, and those will tend to erode as funding dries up. Imagine not being able to even use a highway, you know, because the road's so bad you can't even drive on it anymore. So collapsing city infrastructure will make it more and more difficult for anybody to even enter the city to even, let's say, deliver the mail. And we saw there was a zip code in Seattle where the U.S. Postal Service temporarily refused to deliver mail in that zip code because of all the theft. Well, what do you think is going to happen when crime gets even worse and you have more of an economic collapse? You're going to have trucks hijacked going into any city to deliver something, right? I'm talking about 18-wheeler long-haul rigs. And I know some of you listening are drivers of those trucks. And I know that you're nodding your head in agreement when you say there are certain areas of certain cities that you will not go to. I know this because I've talked to some of your folks there. There's certain areas you just won't go. Why? Because you don't want to die. I don't blame you. And that's going to expand. You're going to see more and more individual truckers, contract truckers, by the way, who are really suffering, being put out of business left and right now, which we should talk about in a second. But also transportation companies that are going to say, we just won't deliver to downtown San Francisco. We won't deliver to downtown Seattle or Portland or Chicago or wherever. That's going to rapidly increase. And you know what's going to cause that to reach a tipping point is when the commercial insurance companies say, we will not insure your trucks if you deliver into these inner cities. You will have no insurance because the claims are too high, too many hijackings, too much looting activity, you know, too much crime, too many truck drivers being, you know, attacked or beaten. So when the insurance companies pull out, and you saw that State Farm is pulling out of home insurance in the entire state of California, right? We covered that yesterday. More insurance companies are pulling out, and this is going to cause trucking and transportation companies to pull out of those cities. When that happens, you almost have like an Escape from LA type of movie scenario with Kurt Russell, where nothing goes in or out of the city, and it's just a collapsed death zone, a, you know, criminal infestation zone, where there are really no remaining functioning businesses. The whole thing is run by gangs. The police just call it a no-go zone. They don't even attempt to police in those areas. And that's what America's inner cities are going to become. You can see it happening. It's on the way. As a side note, by the way, you notice diesel prices have collapsed. Now, diesel prices are collapsing because transportation demand is collapsing. I mean, diesel prices went down almost a dollar just in the last couple of days. That's because there's a collapsing demand for consumer goods, which means the retailers, like Target, by the way, they're seeing plummeting demand, plummeting sales, so they're not ordering as much, so there's much less need for transportation. Trucking companies are going out of business all over the place. And by the way, this is how we got through the engine oil scarcity emergency that was developing late last year. You realize the only reason we still have a supply of engine oil additives right now for diesel engines is because demand for transportation fell off a cliff. That's why. There just aren't as many trucks on the road. Demand has just plummeted. And so you're going to see diesel prices perhaps go even lower. And eventually the refineries are going to have to, you know, really cut back on their output. And we'll see what happens with OPEC and the oil production cartels out there. But look, the Fed raising interest rates has collapsed sectors of the economy, and it is causing a lot of people to run out of money and go out of business. And that's been the plan from the Federal Reserve the entire time, was to cause widespread joblessness and bankruptcies and collapse the economy in order to stop inflation. Notice they never think that maybe they should stop printing money to stop inflation. No, they just want to punish the American people and cause enough bankruptcies to reduce demand. That's quite literally their strategy. All right, number five, no funding for police. Now, of course, Democrats, they want to defund police anyway because they hate law enforcement and they enjoy chaos, lawlessness, and violent crime. But when cities and counties have no more funds because commercial real estate has collapsed and because retailers have fled the city, then they may not even have a choice about funding police. So we're talking about police in these cities who are already, by the way, neutered in a sense because they're told to really not do their jobs. They're told, you know, don't stop shoplifters. Don't touch a violent criminal if he's a person of color, let's say. You know, you might be caught on video, we might be called racist, whatever. Police in these cities are already told, don't do your jobs. Soon, they will be told, go home, we can't even pay your salary. These cities will be essentially unpoliced. These Democrat-run, left-wing, collapsing cities. There will be no police presence of any meaningful level. They won't exist because there's no funding for it. And so the chaos is going to, of course, expand. And the few cops that may still be kept on payroll just to have a theater of some police presence, those cops, if they're wise, street-smart cops, they will know that they are outgunned, 100 to 1 by the gangbangers that run these cities. And those cops will only selectively engage certain types of perps, maybe on the fringes of the areas, but they will never go in and actually clean out the gangs because that's a suicide mission. And those of you who are cops listening to this, you also know exactly what I'm talking about. There are certain things that you don't dare do as a cop in Los Angeles, for example, unless you just want to die. You know, you can only kind of police around the edges of the problem. There just aren't enough cops, aren't enough resources, and not even political willingness to go in and clean out the root of the problem, which is, you know, the weapons trafficking, the human trafficking, and the drug trafficking, those cartel gangs that all pay kickbacks to the governor, you know, the mayor, the city council, whatever, right? So if you're a cop, you don't mess with that because, you know, even the governor can have you killed. I mean, talk about corruption. California is a great example of it, but it's not limited to California. So police have been effectively neutered in these cities. Point number six, a skyrocketing violence, murder, and mayhem. That's going to get a whole lot worse to the point where you're going to see shootings every day and beatings every day and machete wielding left-wing lunatics every single day. It's not even going to make the news anymore. It's just, oh, another day. I mean, look in Chicago right now. Over the weekend, there were, what, 44 people shot, by the way. Did you see that headline in the mainstream media anywhere? No. It's just another weekend in Chicago, just another 40 to 50 people shot. You know, that number is going to be 100 soon. Oh, it's another weekend in Chicago, 100 people shot, 25 killed, 75 wounded. Oh, you know, a couple of seven-year-olds in there too, shooting children. Oh, just another day in Chicago. That's what it's coming to. All right, number seven, the mass migration of refugees into the suburbs and rural areas. I want to talk about this in a little more detail because this affects you, even if you live outside the city. So first, right now, there is already an exodus out of the cities, but this is an exodus of people who have enough money to get out ahead of time. We have not yet experienced a total collapse of a city like San Francisco, although that's coming. Right now, the people leaving San Francisco are those who are able to sell their home, you know, typically, and they're able to do this on a in a reasonable timetable, and they make a plan, and they shop for a house, you know, in Idaho or somewhere, and they make a, you know, a sane move, a rational move decision. They are ahead of the curve. And this is why property prices are being driven up in rural areas. Like, look at Montana. You know what property is going for in Montana now versus 5 years ago? It's insane. I'm seeing the same thing around Central Texas. Property prices off the charts. I mean, even in rural Texas, it's like 2 acres of land is now 400 grand. Like, are you kidding me? You know, 10 years ago, 2 acres of land was like 10 grand, you know. Now it's 400? And what's going on here? Well, everybody wants to get out of the cities. Everybody who can. Everybody who's aware. And so they are bidding up rural real estate. Now, I think this trend is going to continue. So it's interesting. It's hard to talk about real estate as a whole because real estate in the cities is absolutely going to collapse. But real estate in rural areas is, in fact, going to skyrocket. Now, here's what's interesting. UK Daily Mail had an article about this. Let me bring this up. Here it is. The 9 U.S. cities where homeowners are losing thousands on their home values, median sale price in San Francisco drops a staggering $220,000 from a year ago. Data compiled by Redfin marks a shift in the real estate landscape. The numbers unveiled 2 cities in the Bay Area as the worst offenders. Other notable declines occurred in Austin, Boise, Salt Lake City, Seattle, and Los Angeles. Or shall we say, Lost Angels. Oh, man. Used to be the City of Angels. Now it's the Lost Angels or Fallen Angels, right? Oakland, San Francisco, you get the idea. People are getting the bleep out of these cities. And so property prices in the cities are absolutely plummeting, which of course means that property taxes are also plummeting for those cities and counties. But then property prices are going up in the rural areas, like I said. Well, this is going to accelerate. Again, right now it's happening slowly, kind of rationally. People are seeing, oh my gosh, I've got to get out of this crap hole city. I've got to get out into the country. I've got to get to a red state. You know, where taxes are more affordable, where people aren't insane. You know, I've got to get out of this city. It's being overrun, you know, by tranny terrorist lunatics or whatever. Drag queen story time hour everywhere. But there's going to come a day when the exodus out of the cities is a sudden emergency. And at that point, we're going to call people refugees. We're going to have American refugees getting out of the cities in an emergency scenario. Sorry about my background noise dog there. But we're going to have refugees because this is going to happen when the water stops working or the power stops working or the police are just gone. The police are just shut down. When anarchy prevails in these cities, and it's all going to happen at once at some point, you know, slow at first and then all of a sudden, at some point, you're going to have refugees fleeing these cities with whatever they can carry on their backs. They're going to abandon their homes and apartments. And eventually they're going to abandon their vehicles because the gas will only get them so far and the highways will be all jammed up. You're going to have a mass refugee migration on foot in America, heading, let's say, north or east out of LA, which is going to be a tough trek because it's desert, right? You're going to have a lot of deaths in the desert. That's what happens when you build a city in a desert, by the way, and then you try to flee it. You're walking through a desert. But this is going to happen in a lot of cities. You're going to have a collapsed Chicago, people fleeing Chicago. And where are they going to go? Rural Illinois. They're going to head south, maybe west. You know, you're going to have collapsed, probably Houston, Texas, or collapsed Austin, Texas. Where are they going to head out of Austin? In every direction. Anywhere but Austin, you know, will be the motto. Anywhere but Austin. Austin is not survivable. It's not working. Or San Francisco, same thing. No water, no power, no police, no protection, no chance of survival. What do? You flee. How do you flee? Any way you can. What do you take with you? Whatever you can carry. This is another important use case for having cryptocurrency, by the way. You know, as much as I love gold and silver, you can only take so much of it with you in your pockets. As Smeagol says, in your pockets. Because at some point you get robbed and looted or it's just too heavy, whatever. If you can have money in your head, you know, your password, whatever, whether it's a Bitcoin wallet or a privacy coin wallet or whatever, you get to your destination. If you can get a computer to work, you know, you boot it up, you restore your wallet, shazam, you've got funding again. You're back on your feet. See, I'm talking about refugees in America, not just political refugees out of Venezuela or China or Iran or North Korea or somewhere. In America, we're going to have refugees. And remember, these are people who they couldn't leave before or just wasn't a big enough emergency yet. But at some point, let me tell you, the calculus going on in people's minds is either leave or die. That's the point it's going to get to in cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles. Leave or die. And some people will die. Some people will leave. There's going to be a lot of people who will try to leave and then die, and a few that leave and actually survive. And by the way, that's not going to be the people who are, you know, overly jabbed and filled with spike protein and sludgy blood, and who never prepared and don't know how to use a Glock and whatever. Those people just, they're not going to make it very far. Sorry to say, don't even own a water filter, don't even know how to use one. Don't have any backup food supplies, nothing. Don't know how to navigate. What's a compass? You know, I mean, which way does the sun come up? What is this, a map, a paper map? They can't even read a paper map, you know? They're toast, man. They're not going to make it. Now, that's not you, obviously. You're well ahead of that curve, that crowd, but that crowd is not going to do very well. So they will flood into the suburbs. And then from the suburbs, they will flood into the rural areas. And you're going to see communities, like rural towns, having to put together a community defense, like little local militia groups, I guess, with sheriffs and deputies and police and whatever, you know, local farmers and rifles and whatever. And that's when people start pulling out their 50 caliber Barretts, you know, and start manning the bridges and like, okay, we got to keep the zombies out. You're going to see that in America. You're going to see waves of refugees trying to sweep through towns, kind of like, you know, stripping everything like human locusts almost in some ways. You know, it's going to get crazy. And every town's going to handle it differently. Some towns, more liberal towns, was, oh, we have to help everyone. Let's just give them everything. Let them, you know, take over all our homes and eat all our food and whatever. And then you're going to be wiped out. The towns that will survive will be towns that will defend the town against the hordes of refugees in some way while helping those that you can, right? Because that's the Christian thing to do, is to help where you can, but not give away everything to where you're overrun and you are no longer viable as a town and you can't even protect your family. Because remember, the people coming through your town, they don't live there. They don't care. They're just going to steal and loot and move along. So you have to defend yourself. And it's going to be interesting to see which towns have leadership where they decide to actually hold the line, and maybe they might escort groups of people through the town, like here, you know, exit, you know, you come from the south and well, you can exit north or whatever. Or they might just block them and say, you can't use the roads at all. You're not welcome here unless you're a resident here. Show us your ID to get in. If you don't have ID, you don't get in. And then they'll build fences to keep the hordes out. I'm not kidding. They'll build fences. And then at some point, every one of these small towns is going to have to decide, do you shoot those who break through the fence? And if you don't, then you will be overrun. So at some point, as a town, as law enforcement, again, sheriffs, police, whatever, you're going to have to decide to defend your town. And that's going to mean defending it with deadly force, or you will be overrun. Just saying, that's exactly how this is going to go down. So think about these things ahead of time. Now, climate lockdowns for the cities. This was point number 8. And Max Slavo wrote an article about this. Are WHO climate lockdowns coming? And he's talking about the amendments to the International Health Regulations, the IHRs, and the Pandemic Treaty of the WHO. They incorporate what's called a One Health approach. This scheme, he writes, will give the World Health Organization the power to initiate so-called climate lockdowns. So he says the language of the One Health scam is a tool to create networks and combine efforts towards centralizing power and control. Once that's been achieved, then similar measures that were imposed in response to COVID can be used for climate change, or they can claim loss of biodiversity, or they can claim there's a human disease or a vector-borne disease, or much more. This is also covered by the Daily Exposé as well. So the WHO, quote, will be able to forcibly control where and when humans all over the globe are allowed to leave their residences. So we're talking about nationwide curfews, climate crisis, climate lockdowns. You are locked down, stuck in your apartment, stuck in your city building, stuck wherever. This will be very easy for them to enforce in the cities because, again, a large number of people in a small amount of space. And there's only a certain number of roads in or out, and so on. This kind of lockdown will be impossible to enforce in rural areas, because if you live on a ranch or something, you know, you walk outside, nobody even really knows, who cares? Walking around your farm, you're still doing your ranch stuff like I do, you know, that doesn't even use any roads. But for those of you in the cities, you'll be a prisoner. You'll be a prisoner in your own apartment, in your own high-rise. And then, by the way, they can turn off the air conditioning. Did you know that? Well, because, of course, air conditioning, you know, bad for the planet. It uses energy. So they'll make you a prisoner in a high-rise. They'll turn off the air conditioning, and then you will just roast and die in your 15-story coffin, which is exactly what they want. Depopulation. That's what climate lockdowns are ultimately all about, is mass murder of the human race. And then that gets us to point number 9, the easy roundups for the quarantine camps. So if they can't kill you in your building, they can simply declare a pandemic, and there doesn't even have to be one, as we've learned. They can just make it up. They just run scare stories. They can just start murdering people in the hospitals and count them as, you know, pandemic deaths. That's what they did during COVID. So the media will roll out all this fiction. Oh my gosh, invisible microbes everywhere are going to kill you. You need to report to this quarantine camp. Or they'll just come get you, round you up, WHO in charge. You know, your local sheriff has been nullified by the WHO treaty, they'll say. And then you have to get in their buses, and the buses will take you to the quarantine camps, and then the quarantine camps become death camps, and then you never leave, and then more human depopulation has been achieved by the globalists. Well, it's much easier to find you if you live in a high-rise building, an apartment building in a city. It's much easier to capture you if they just run blocks on all the roads exiting the city. You know, just a highway checkpoint. And if you drive up, they just confiscate your car, take you out, load you up on a bus, take you to a death camp, exterminate you. And then they call it, you know, a COVID death or whatever the next pandemic is. They'll just call it a pandemic death. Oh, these poor people, they died. And, you know, just that's how dangerous this is. That's why everybody needs to obey. So many people died and, you know, nothing we can do about it. That's going to be the story in the media. So yeah, they'll exterminate people. They'll just take people off the roads, out of their homes, and they'll just take them to camps and they'll exterminate them. Why do you think they're building these camps in states like Washington? These are death camps. These are death camps. It's extermination. This is modern Holocaust, just under the name of the plandemic, whatever the next one is, which will probably be some combination of bird flu, Marburg, and influenza. You know, a triple threat chimeric bioweapon developed by DOD and released upon the population to achieve a crisis and extermination. That's what's coming. If you're in a city when that happens, you're in bad shape. Unless you know how to get out on foot, that might be the only way to get out, or maybe some like cross-country motorcycle, but then you have to run into fences sometimes. Unless you're really good on your motocross bike and you can leap over fences or something, which would require ramps, I would imagine, you're going to need to get out on foot. And getting out on foot is not something that is easily accomplished. And you're going to need some wire cutters, by the way. And a map and some good shoes, you know, and whatever. I mean, that's going to be a hard trek for anyone. Even a soldier is going to have a hard time doing that. And at the same time, you'll be hunted. You'll be hunted down by local law enforcement or WHO troops or UN troops or something trying to round you up for the quarantine camps. They'll say, you know, for your own safety. Oh, we don't want you walking across fields. Let's take you to the quarantine camps where you'll be comfortable or comfortably dead. Something like that. So those are the 9 trends that you need to know about the cities and how it affects the suburbs and the rural areas as well. And this is why real estate is going to continue to climb in rural areas but collapse in urban areas. And I know that some of this is hard to hear. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this and add these data points to your own decision-making. And as you know, the things I'm talking about are easily verified, right? There's going to be a commercial real estate collapse. You can find 100 headlines on that, right, in the financial press. You can see retailers shutting down in the cities, police being defunded, failing infrastructure, right? None of this is theory. This is all happening. Rising violent crime, right? Even migration out of the cities is already happening. You can see the WHO talking about climate lockdowns and the new treaty they're trying to push, which is about to get active, and the quarantine camps under construction, right? None of this is theory. This is all fact. This is all easily verifiable. You know that, and I know that, but there is, of course, a large number of Americans who want to pretend that none of this is happening. Those people will likely not survive. Just to be clear, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of death. I mean, we all are. There's going to be a lot of people that won't make it through this. We try to reach them. We try to help them. We try to educate them. They refuse. They want to keep, you know, taking their jabs and believing that Biden is their savior, whatever. And, you know, they trust the banks. I mean, how crazy and ignorant do you have to be to trust the banks with your money these days? These people are going to die, right? They just won't make it. And they'll die violently, many of them, from the violent crime gangs that will be running a lot of these cities. I don't know what to say to those people, but I do know you can't reach them. They've already decided to self-immolate. They do not want to live. They hate themselves. They want to destroy themselves. So they're going to succeed in that mission, by the way. They won't be around much longer. Our job is to make sure that, number one, we try to help as many as we can, and secondly, we don't let the suicidal lunatics take us down with them. So plan accordingly. Plan based on reality. This reality I just laid out for you, this is going to happen. It's already happening, but it's going to get a lot worse over the next several years. This is all based on actual facts. This is what is real. It's not rooted in transgendered delusional thinking or delusional interest rates, you know, delusional inflation numbers from the federal government, you know, all their made-up news. Remember the news yesterday that Ukrainian women can kill Russians with office supplies? Like, wow, that's the level of delusion of the West now. that they think they're going to beat the Russians with staplers, I think. It's, okay, that's really interesting that your level of delusion is so high that you're completely insane, you know, for these Western leaders, but a lot of people live there. They live in sheer delusion, and they won't be living there much longer as all of this unfolds, because they will not have the mindset, the knowledge, or the skills to be able to survive. You, on the other hand, you have all those things. You know, you're aware, you're determined, you're well prepared, you're probably either already outside the city or you have a backup location plan of where to go, and you're tuned in to the information so you can leave early before it gets really, really bad. So you're going to be okay. And so I want to wrap this up with a little bit of positivity, believe it or not. I know we talked about the doom loops and the death of the American city. Doesn't mean the death of America as a whole. In fact, there will be a renaissance in rural America. There will be a resurgence of a call for liberty and freedom. And that resurgence will be rooted in a lot of very powerful positive trends, such as decentralized publishing of information that is not censorable, decentralized finance, money that is not confiscatable. These are two key technologies. It's why I'm embracing them, because they are technologies that underpin the new renaissance for humanity. Also, self-reliance, learning how to grow more of your own food, learning how to use local currencies, whether it's gold or silver or a barter system or a new state-run currency, learning how to use your own medicine or even make medicine, grow medicine, learning, you know, self-care, first aid, all these things. You know, I talked about over the last couple of weeks, I had a pretty severe injury that happened to me, by the way. I lost a pretty significant amount of blood. And a lot of people would have run to the emergency room. I never saw a doctor for that injury. I didn't get stitches, nothing. I didn't use antibiotics from pharmacies, nothing. I didn't go to a doctor. Why? Because I knew how to take care of myself. I knew how to heal. I knew how to use antiseptics. I learned how to mend skin back together. And I treated myself day after day, even to this day. It's not 100% healed, but it's almost. I changed all my own bandages. I did all my own treatments every day. I did not need a doctor. And although I wouldn't recommend anybody go through what I went through, because there was pain involved, it was an example of being able to achieve self-care when there is no doctor or when you can't get to a doctor. And I know there's circumstances where you absolutely need a doctor. I'm not telling you not to go to the emergency room. If you need to go, go. But I made the decision to treat it myself, because I know a day is coming when I won't be able to find another doctor. And I hope I can always find a dentist, because I don't want to be yanking my own teeth out if I have a toothache. By the way, that's not a good scene. It's a good reason to keep flossing, by the way. Take care of your teeth. You don't want to need a dentist when there is no dentist. That's the worst. Make sure there's a dentist in your group, you know, where at least you could barter. Here, have some gold. Fix my teeth, for God's sake. The point is, we're going to make it through this, folks. We have the knowledge, the skills, the determination, the courage, the blessings, the divine protection. God is on our side. You know how much that counts? That counts for everything. We are battling against the Satanists. We are on the side of the creator of the universe. He's going to win this. Have no doubt, he wins this. Yes, there will be suffering and destruction, and we're going to see a lot of hell on earth in the meantime. But we know how this ends, and it ends with the defeat of the Satanists, the defeat of the pedophiles and the transgender terrorists, and the defeat of the mutilators of children, the defeat of the radical left and the communists and the atheists. They're all defeated. They all go to hell. We know how this ends, and it ends with 1,000 years of a new golden age for humanity. Don't you want to be a part of that? I do. This means we have to get through this. And so to get through it, we have to know what's coming. I just laid it out for you, at least for the cities. That's what's coming. Count on it. Bank on it. If you can make it through that, you can share in the new golden age future for humanity. That's my goal, is to get us all there. And that's why I appreciate you listening and having patience as I explain all of this. And I hope you know, I don't hold back anything here. I'm not sugarcoating this. And I'm not trying to appeal to some kind of a mainstream audience. I'm only working to inform those who are ready for this information. It's not everybody. It's just us, the few, who are the leaders of the future of human civilization. You realize that you are among the leaders of the future of human civilization? Yeah, it's true. So thank you for listening. That's what I wanted to cover today. Thank you for supporting our store over the Memorial Day sales event, healthrangerstore.com. The orders start shipping out today, and you'll receive, you know, tracking numbers in your emails. And we should have all the orders shipped out in the next certainly by Friday of this week. So yeah, the next three business days should have everything shipped out. Thank you for your patience. We did give our families the day off on Memorial Day, of course, and also my studio people, which is why today's report is audio only instead of video. I couldn't drag my studio crew into the studio. It's like, just take the day off, guys, and I'll do audio. You know, give them time with their families that they deserve. So thank you for your support. Shop at healthrangerstore.com and support our sponsors as well in terms of readiness and preparedness. Satellite phones is at sat123.com. That's sat123.com. If you're looking at gold and silver, go to metalswithmike.com and compare pricing. That's the Treasure Island Company. Very excellent, outstanding pricing, very competitive, high integrity company there. If you're looking at garden seeds, go to arcseedkits.com. That's ARK, arcseedkits.com. If you need an AR-15, go to shieldarms.com. Use discount code RANGER for, I think, $100 off an AR rifle. They have the folding stock rifles, which are very useful, especially now that arm braces are being banned, it appears. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, hoplitearmor.com for body armor. That's H-O-P-L-I-T-E, hoplitearmor.com. Get body armor there. Discount code RANGER gets you 10% off, I believe. It might be, it's either 10 or 15. You can try it and see. Good idea to have some body armor, especially the lightweight stuff, especially if you have to be a refugee, get out of a city. You know, keep it legal, of course. Always keep it legal, I say, with ammo, body armor, firearms, and so on, but also be prepared. So thank you for all of your support, including with our various sponsors. And we'll be back with you tomorrow from the studio for Brighttown Broadcast News. God bless America. Thank you for listening. Take care.